Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jamie Monticelli and Mike Wickett. Saw this story in the USA Today. And frankly, this is one of those that we will probably reference this story several times because there are a lot of different discussions to be had in this story. And it has to do with you, with parents. If you're a mom or a dad, there are a lot of, I mean, this is up on our Facebook page, and we were kind of just kicking this off talking about what toys moms and dads allow sons and daughters to play with, and if there's any discrimination between, hey, you allow your daughter to play with trucks and your son to play with trucks, but not, it doesn't go the other way when it comes to, like, dolls.
Yeah, but the more interesting thing to me about this is when it gets into the conversations that you have with your kids. So there was a study done by seniorliving.org of 1,000 adults that looked at the ages associated with discussing 24 sensitive topics like gender identity, racial discrimination, political beliefs, drugs, sex, and mass shooting. Survey also addressed how gender plays a role in what parents see as acceptable behavior for their kids. Some of this is really predictable, that generally speaking, moms were far more likely and far more okay with letting their sons play with dolls and letting their sons wear a dress. It gets into parent versus non-parent and who has some of those discussions. It gets into the top concerns for your son versus your daughter. But to me, the more interesting part of this is when you scroll down a little bit, they ask about the different topics of conversation that you have with your kids, who has those discussions and at what age you think those discussions need to happen. And again, there are a bunch on here. There are what, two dozen on this list, but I want to run through some of these. And the initial question I have is, are there any of these that you are reluctant to even have with your kid? And I think some of these discussions on this list are happening younger maybe than they need to. And some of these are not happening soon enough, but the survey found, generally speaking, that women, moms want to have the talk sooner about everything.
About everything on this list, yeah.
Moms want to talk to them sooner. It makes me wonder, are moms a little more aware of some of the problems with some of these things? And are moms just more comfortable? Like, we're talkers more, you know, women are just, and so are we just generally more willing to have these conversations in general? So I'll run through some of these. And what do you think about these topics and the age at which they think that you should have some of these discussions? And we're talking off the air a little bit about that parent versus non-parent thing. Who has the discussions with your kids about these things? And would you rather it be, is there someone that you trust that's not you or your spouse to have some of these discussions? Because I said, I obviously don't have kids, but I'm close to a lot of my friends who do and a lot of their children. And I can totally foresee a circumstance where I'm sort of the cool aunt that has some of these discussions that the parents or the kids don't want to have with their kids. So the earliest, it's interesting, though, that how they go back and forth a little bit. But bullying is the earliest discussion that moms and dads, in terms of out of this list, the youngest.
It's the first sensitive discussion you're supposed to, or according to this, the first set. Because, like, what else when they're five, other than sharing, you know? But this point, it is really interesting that it's bullying is the first sensitive topic that you have a conversation with your son or your daughter about.
I don't know if... Sure, that could be the first. Death is the second. Gun safety is the third.
Interesting.
And moms think you should have it at about 8. Dads think you should have it at about 10. I'd be having that discussion sooner.
A lot of our listeners have, and you've called in with this before, that you have taught your son or your daughter to use a gun at 4.
But I don't, from the way I look at it,
gun safety at 4.
But not how to use a gun. It's what to do if you see a gun in the bushes in the park, you know? And I don't know how early you can have that. Maybe 8 is right. But I not necessarily teaching them how to use it, but even if you're not a gun family, the dangers of guns because kids are dealing with mass shootings to know what to do if you hear that sound. So racial discrimination is the next one on the list.
Well, mass shootings and gun violence comes later on. I think when you're talking about gun safety, you're talking about how to handle it and, like you said, what to do if you see one. I mean, to me, that's different than mass shootings and things of that nature.
Racial discrimination is the next one, followed by negative influences. Religious discrimination is on here pretty early. And out of everything on this list, that's the one that I'm surprised is even on here. And I'm curious to know why. We don't hear a lot of stories of people, particularly kids, having to confront religious discrimination. And so I'm surprised that that is on here at all, or and as young as it is, like the age of 9 for moms.
576-7798. Does that conversation happen? Like, and I know that today there is maybe more so today because we have seen a rise in so many hate crimes towards different religions. We have seen a rise in hate crimes towards Jews. We have seen a rise in hate crimes against Muslims or discrimination against Muslims. Hell, we had a Muslim ban 2 years ago. So is that part of the conversation? Is that why this is on this list? Because growing up, I didn't know what a Jew was. I didn't know what a Muslim was when I was 8.
But you're having that discussion. I don't know if that discussion needs to happen at 8 years old. Not everything that happens in the news needs to be a topic of conversation with your kids. Eight to me is young.
Are you having that conversation if you're a parent about religious discrimination? 576-7798. I think it's more so than ever you have to have that conversation.
Again, I think 8 is too young for it, though. I think you can have it when they're a teenager, maybe a little bit later. But unless you are in a religion that is going to be discriminated against and the kid's going to deal with that in school, I think that's... Because that's earlier on this list than mass shootings, sexual abuse, drugs, alcohol. Moms aren't talking to their kids about sex until they're about 11 and a half. Dads say 12 and a half. I'm saying you're having that discussion. That's a naive point of view. If you're not talking to your kids about sex until they're 11 and a half.
That puts them in sixth grade.
I think we have 12-year-olds getting pregnant. And that discussion needs to happen sooner than you think.
I'm going to go with the survey a little later. But I think you're having 11 and a half year old kid having a sexual conversation. I mean,
want to wait too long and have your kid be the one that gets pregnant or get someone else pregnant?
And this is parents, by the way. This isn't school. Like, I had sex ed in fifth grade and sixth grade, the bare minute. Was it sixth grade? Fifth grade, sixth grade? Yeah. Sixth grade, fifth grade. We had we began that conversation. And that was 11. That was 11.
That was a long time ago. Kids are exposed to sex sooner.
Yeah.
We have cell phones now in which they're pressured. We just had the conversation about sending pictures of yourself. I don't think there's harm in having that conversation a little sooner, but there's more harm in waiting to have it.
Which of these sensitive discussions, and maybe we focus on a couple of these, like the religious discrimination, do you actually have bullying, death, gun safety, racial discrimination? Religious discrimination? 576-7798. At what age are you having these conversations with your kids? Because, boy, they're exposed to a lot more than when we were all growing up. Kay is in Blue Springs. Hi, Kay. You're on KMBZ.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to comment on the religious discrimination conversation. My kids are grown and out of the house, but I had that discussion with them when they were young because you don't want them... You know, you've got those kids that have different religious beliefs that maybe get pulled out of class for maybe they're Jehovah's Witnesses or other religious. They have other religious beliefs that you don't want your kids bullying them about their religious beliefs, right? Making fun of them because they got pulled out and didn't get to participate.
You know, it's a good point. Yeah, I mean, but when do you do it? Do you do it at 6? Do you do it at 8? Do you do it? As in, this story has girls just before they turn 9, boys when they turn 10.
Yeah, I think you do it. I think it's based on your child, but I would think you would do it when they're younger because they're going to be seeing this happening throughout their classes. I've got a son that's got pulled out for other reasons, right? And you don't want them bullying them for anything like that. So I think having the discussion based on your child's maturity as early as you can is probably a better solution.
Thank you for your phone call, Kay. 576-7798. Talking about sensitive conversations you have with your kids, focusing right now on the religious discrimination.
And I want to focus on the sex thing. I think that is a, I'm surprised unpleasantly that parents think that conversation needs to happen so late. Now, granted, teen pregnancy is down. Thank goodness. That doesn't mean teen sex is down. It means teen pregnancy is down. I'm surprised that parents think that conversation doesn't need to happen until 11 or 12. That to me is being naive and avoiding potentially a problem. Here are a couple of parents and teachers that are backing up my point. 6516 said, I teach middle school. I had to sit in with the sixth grade boys. They hear and know a lot. They also have a lot of missing information. For instance, the boys thought if you drink Mountain Dew, you could not get a girl pregnant. We need to teach them factual information.
Yellow number five. I remember that rumor growing up. If you drank Mountain Dew and it had the, if you drank anything with the yellow number five, which was the dye or whatever, it killed your sperm count. I remember that from 20 years ago.
Here's another one. And 3290 is about to call. My son was 9 when he started asking questions about sex. I couldn't skate by with not answering them, so my husband and I had to talk to him. We also talked with him about staying away from pornography at 8 years old.
What?
He knows now at 11 to talk to us about any questions he has about sex. Because kids are approached, and you have to teach them to say no. If they're online and you think they're not, but they're going to be online somewhere. And if this is Shay in Blue Springs, we can put her on because she was the one that just texted. You have to teach them to say no when they are asked for those images.
Yeah, Shay called in, and we appreciate you getting in, Shay. Jamie just read your text message. You had to have a conversation about porn at 8 or 9 with your child?
No, that one's not mine. I was a teacher that sat in with sixth grade
boys. Oh, you said, okay. Sorry, cool. We mixed up our lines. My apologies. You sat in with a bunch of sixth grade boys who knew everything about sex, like Mountain Dew will keep you from getting a woman pregnant.
Correct.
Oh, my Lord. How
they
do you
hear all things from their brothers and friends, and they think that it's all true.
What,
how early do you think the sex talk should start to happen?
I think it needs to start earlier. I was also a foster parent, and a lot of kids are sexually abused very young. So with my children, who are 7, 6, and 4, we talk about what the actual genitalia's names are. We talk about what's safe touch, what's not okay. And I think you just need to keep moving through that as they get older, because even my 7-year-old will kind of giggle and talk about boys, and she'll see things on YouTube that I'm like, oh my gosh, YouTube Kids is supposed to be okay, but it's not. So I think it's never too early. I really don't.
I just think you make a really good point about, you know, you think that because you're not having the conversation with your kids that they don't have information that might be wrong. I think you have a responsibility to correct what they already have in their heads.
Absolutely.
Hey, thank you for your phone call, Shay. We appreciate it.
Man. Yeah, you don't want them thinking that if they just drink Mountain Dew and have sex that they can't get the girl pregnant.
Please. It's like sucking on the penny to pass your breathalyzer. That's not real. That's not really it. Let's go to Lionel and Lee's Summit. Lionel, you have kids?
I do. I have one son.
Okay. How early do you have to have these conversations about religious discrimination, sex, I mean, death, gun safety? Like, when do you have those?
Well, you know, I think it's all early's good. And I think, like the last caller, I think it's progressive. It just doesn't, you don't stop at age, let's just say age 10. You don't stop at age 10. I remember as my son got older, he had a girlfriend in high school. We went to lunch. I'll never forget the conversation. And I had the conversation with the two of them right in front of me. If you want to change your life, have sex and get pregnant. As opposed to, don't have sex.
That is a great way to put it. Look, if you want to totally change everything, get somebody pregnant or get pregnant.
If you want to have no more freedom, no more money, not graduate high school, and not having kids is amazing and awesome and wonderful
at
the right
16.
Time. At the right time, for sure.
Yeah, and it were. I mean, they were like, "Oh my God, your dad is telling us to have sex," and I was like, "Just go ahead. It will change your life. No college." No money. And I mean, it had an impact. It worked for me.
Good.
It should. That's,
yeah.
It should. Lionel, thanks, man.
Otherwise, you're just hoping your kid does the right thing.
Just wallowing, just going through life, just figuring it out.
That's a lot of faith in the internet and their friends and society.
I got some dumb friends, and the internet is a toilet. Let's go to Christina in Leavenworth. Hi, Christina.
Hi. I thought it was Dr. Pepper that kept you from getting
it. Might, you know what? That might have been your rumor.
Maybe that's an Oklahoma thing. I don't know.
Okay.
It just works there. No, I think you let your kids tell you what they want to talk about. I mean, we have themes in our house of be responsible, be kind, be safe. And pretty much everything can go back to that. And, you know, we raised our children mostly in Southwest Missouri, and we're Roman Catholic. And Roman Catholic up here, you know, they're all over the place. But down there, it was a real oddity. And, you know, my kids, that really imprinted on them what it felt like to be a little different. And it made a difference in how they treat people. And it also brought up the idea of, you know, religious equality really early, because the idea was just be kind. If you don't know, and it seems like a conversation where you can ask and learn. If it seems like something they don't want to talk about, leave them alone. Be kind. So I think your kids tell you what they want to know. Like my son, when he was growing up, had a friend whose mother was no longer able to have him in her home. He had to go into the foster care system because she had a drug problem. And so my son is, you know, a preschooler, and he's being exposed to these problems that he wouldn't be exposed to in our home. But that doesn't mean that that's not important and that it doesn't need to be talked about. And so, you know, going on from that, they're exposed to a lot outside of our homes. And if we're not open to what they want to talk about, and if we're not there to provide guidance and to listen, then we're missing the point. I mean, it's not like it should be written on the calendar, have to have sex talk now. You know, when he sees Freddie Mercury, might be a good time to talk about AIDS. You know, why is that guy so skinny? Why'd he die? Well, this is a really good time to talk about AIDS and how that happens.
Christina, it's a great phone call. Thank you so much for it. 576-7798. Shannon sent us a text earlier. We're glad she called in to further explain. Now, Shannon, explain your text message. When have you had these conversations with your children?
He was about 9 because he was asking.
He was asking about sex.
Yeah, he okay. was asking. He was curious. He just started off his curiosity, and my husband and I kind of took it and rolled with it. When he was 5, he was asking questions, and we could kind of skate by. But when he was 9, he was asking, and I don't remember because it was a couple years ago, but it was more detailed. And my husband and I figured, you know, it's better for him to learn it from us than from kids at school. Definitely. So I'm with Jamie on that.
When I was going to ask, what was the, like, if you remember generally what the tipping point was that you said, all right, you look at your husband, or maybe the next day you and your husband go to your son and you say, all right, let's have this talk.
I think it was like more detailed, like, and I don't know when I'm allowed to say on the radio.
That's fine.
But he just kind of wanted to know the mechanics of how things work. He's very smart. And so he was just like, we could see his little mind working. He's like, well, how does this get there? And, you know, how does this work? And how does that happen? And so we were very, words that we use, but we were just really technical, I guess, at that time.
The thing that got our attention a little bit about your text was the reference to talking to them about pornography. And yep. We were talking further about that, about not just pornography, but about your kids being approached by predators, or about people that mm-hmm. want pictures or are trying to lure your kids.
Yep, that too. I guess he was 8 because he was using the tablet more and he was on the computer more. And so we had to pull him aside. And, you know, there's actually a video that we're able to show that was made for kids by kids. And so it was very good way to start him out about the dangers of pornography and to stay away from it.
How old is your son now?
He's 11.
He's 11, and he's well-versed. I mean, now does he come to you and say, because I was 11 when I first got that talk in school from sex ed classes, does he come to you? Has he had that talk? Has he had those lessons in school yet?
I think that he has, and he's like, you know, I already knew everything that, you know, they're talking about, and, you know, it wasn't embarrassing for him or super silly. It's just like matter of fact. And, you know, my husband and I are very open. So he can come and talk to us about anything, any questions he has. And I think that's the best way to teach our children, to be open with them, you know.
Hey, Shannon, I know it feels like you're a guest on the show, and I'm glad you called in. Do you have any of these other sensitive topic conversations? Have you already had them, like religious discrimination, gender discrimination, divorce, drugs, alcohol? Any of that come up yet, or is that the only biggie on the list?
We've talked to him about drugs and alcohol. And just the other day, we talked to our five-year-old about gun safety and what to do if you see, if you're at a little friend's house or play date and you see a gun and they want to show you a gun and what to do.
That's something we didn't talk about as a reason to have the gun safety conversation sooner. Again, not to me, there's a difference between teaching your kids to use a gun early. I don't know how I feel about that. But what if they go to a friend's house and they have guns in the house and you find one? We did the story not that long about the kid that found the gun in the toy box because grandma had hidden it there. And so
where else would you keep a gun?
What do you do with it then? Because he shot his brother. He found the gun and he shot his brother.
Yep. My dad is actually an ex-police officer, so he taught me to, you know, kind of teach our boys when my husband and I talk to them, and it's stop, don't touch, walk away, and tell an adult. And that's what we taught our five-year-old, and now he knows, and, you know, just keep it simple. And then later, when they're old enough, we can teach them gun safety and how to use a gun.
Thank you for calling in, Shannon. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. 576-7798. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just because of what they're going to encounter in your house, but what they're going to find at their friends' houses.
I'm not judging her in any way, but 9 would be very surprising. And look,
for what?
For a kid to come to you for a sex conversation. And I applaud them for the way they handled it. Like, if my 9-year-old daughter comes to me asking about how parts fit in places, I'm going to faint.
But don't they already know about their bodies when they're little?
They know about their body.
But if they know about their body, they know that they ask about, you know, how their little brother got here, you know? And so at some point, I don't think you wait to say the sex word for the first time or to allude to that when they're 9. I also don't know how I feel about waiting for them to come to you. What if they don't come to you until they're 15? Do you want to wait until they come to you with questions before you talk to them about it?
I think by the time they get to the drop dead age to me would be like 13. Like, by the time they're getting ready to go into high school, I believe it should happen at 11 or 12, like it did for me in school. But I never had the talk at home with my mother or my father. That never actually happened. But I think if I go to my daughter at 13 and she hasn't had that conversation yet, we'll have that conversation. But I'm confident, maybe Lee will do it, I'm confident that that conversation happens before the 8th grade.
I wouldn't wait for them to do it in sex ed. For you to do it at home. I would control the message more.
Go to her at 9?
Do it. What's wrong with having the conversation at 9? Again, you don't
That's
have
fourth
to.
Grade.
You realize kids are getting pregnant at 11 and 12?
Yeah, but not all of them.
Well, do you want your kid to be one of them or
I don't,
not?
I don't want her to be the 1%, but I'm not going to her at 9 and putting the idea in her head if she doesn't have it there. It's the whole get it done early or too much, you know, tell them, you know, too early conversation.
So you're in the category of if I tell her about it, she's going to go do it. You said, I don't want to put the idea in her head. Do you think she's not hearing it from somewhere else?
I don't think at 9.
Do they have access to the internet at 9?
Not if I have any control over it.
Don't be naive about it. Don't assume, and this isn't just for you, but don't assume that your kids aren't getting it from somewhere else. I know that you hope at 9 they are not hearing it. But don't assume that.
Again, fourth grade to me, that seems to be wrong.
I know it seems to be wrong, but they might already be hearing it.
576-7798. Let's go to Terry in Blue Springs. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, I'm a former first grade teacher, and every year we had a program, I believe it was sponsored by the Blue Springs Police Department in conjunction with another department that I can't remember. But the kids were, and this was a parent permission slip that had to be signed before they were going to listen to this program, but it was actually extremely good and extremely helpful. It was called Good Touch, Wrong Touch, and it just went through a little kind of book that told them what boys' bodies covered by swimsuits are. Those are private parts. Girls' body parts covered by swimsuits are their private parts, and it was definitely about who can do the touching and when it's not appropriate to do the touching. But yeah, I mean, I agree with Jamie. Those conversations are happening. And this was like a 30-minute program. We had a guest speaker that would come in. I sat with the children during the whole program as well. And then afterward, we were, as teachers, expected to go through this little booklet that the children took home and talk, and if they had any extra questions about good touch, bad touch, we could, or wrong touch, that we could refer them to our counselor at school or even the person that came to visit. And they followed up with us. These people followed up with us to say, hey, was there anyone from your classroom that you were concerned about or who expressed any concern and any worry about what was said that day? So, I mean, yeah, they are hearing it. And sorry to tell you, Dad, but we had fourth grade girls in our building that were already menstruating. So,
somebody just said that on the text line. That girls are getting their periods at 9.
I'm going to tell her she cannot have her period in the fourth grade.
Well, good luck.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, several of you have said that on the text line, that girls are getting their periods at 9.
We're okay.
And
thank
so,
and Terry, thank you. Wait.
Girls are getting, I mean, potentially 8. I mean, that's not unheard of for a girl to get her period young. And if she's getting, if that's happening to her, she needs to understand what that means biologically about her body and why she has the period in the first place.
That hasn't changed, right?
No, I mean,
like,
no, not that, that I
okay, because I get it that sex is out there more and there's more ways to consume the medium now than when we were growing up. But in terms of when girls are getting their first period, that is still, like, there were 9-year-olds, I'm sure, that were getting it when I was growing up, didn't know about it, had no idea about it. But that doesn't change. Like, that's not new, right?
No, but okay, even if it was, it's still going to be your problem. Even if it was new, that's still something you're going to have to deal with. And if they're getting their period at 9, then they need to understand pregnancy. And you can't explain pregnancy without getting into some of the details.
Glenn is in Platte City on KMBZ. Go ahead, Glenn.
What's up, guys?
Yo.
Enjoy your program as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, Wicket, you just gotta suck it up, Buttercup. I used to go back to my my grade school, as you know, when I was in my teens and early 20s as a helper, just because I didn't have nothing else to do. And I went into one of the fourth grade classes to help the teacher out. And don't ask me why this is sticking in my head right now, because I'm 53 years old. But there were little girls in there who were fully developed. And as the lady said, they are having their menstrual symptoms or cycles earlier now as well. So, yeah, that's a foregone conclusion that she's probably going to have the conversation, that conversation, a lot sooner than you anticipate. And fortunately, I'm in a two-parent household, and my wife handles all that stuff. I asked her if she did it. She said, yes, I'm done. That was my conversation.
Yeah, I did. Look, that's going to be a Lee conversation, I'm guessing, but I'm going to be part of those conversations.
You want her to be comfortable coming to you, too.
I do.
You know, so that you, but also so that you can, you know, be the example of the man in her life that also teaches her about the right way that a girl should be treated and a lady should be treated. And so you should be having some of the consent conversations with her also and be like, honey, you know, this is what, I think that's good that it comes from both.
Midday with Jamie and Wicket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.